Hello, this is Missy Hollander from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the News and Observer's Restaurant Reviews. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. And as usual, before we get started, just a quick reminder of what the ratings mean. 5 stars means extraordinary, 4 stars excellent, 3 stars above average, 2 stars average, and 1 star fair. The first restaurant review I'm going to read is for Sushi 9, and they're located at 3812 Western Boulevard, and that's in Raleigh, phone number 900-8203, and they received 3 stars. When Sushi 9 opened last December with the motto, "Home of the largest sushi bar in town," I naturally had to sneak a peek. Sure enough, when I looked in one early Friday evening, 5 sushi chefs were slicing and rolling behind a 16-seat sushi bar. And what a sushi bar it was! Gently curved, underside glowing with electric blue lights, it's the focal point of a sprawling dining room that for the last decade was the 1010 Chinese Buffet. Sushi 9 owner Lisa Fatfat has given the place a complete makeover with a vibrant contemporary look to match the sushi bar. As I watched, a 3-foot-long lacquered boat laden with a colorful cargo of nigiri sushi and house specialty rolls set sail. Born on the shoulder of a waiter, the craft made for a port of call at the far end of the dining room. Needless to say, the scene got my attention. But I didn't stay to eat. I had other plans, and I'll confess I was skeptical as to whether the food would live up to the promise of all that eye candy. In my experience, visual pyrotechnics are not hallmarks of a first-rate sushi bar, nor, for that matter, is the claim to be the largest. Recently, though, the upstart eatery raised the ante with a brash claim of the best sushi in Raleigh. Okay, now I had to check it out. While best is clearly overstating the case, turns out the sushi is pretty darn good, especially for a place whose stock in trade is BOGO, which is buy one, get one sushi rolls all day, every day. That works out to an average of around $5 or $6 a piece for a selection of some 40 large specialty rolls, ranging from American Dream, soft-shell crab, avocado, and cucumber topped with crab stick, tempura flakes, and a mild special sauce, to zombie, salmon skin, eel, scallions, avocado, asparagus, masago, and eel sauce. Sashimi and sushi are respectable, too, and generously portioned, though they're not quite the bargain that the rolls are. You won't find pricey rarities on the list, but all the usual suspects are present and accounted for, and in my experience, consistently fresh-tasting. Even so, my next visit to Sushi 9 won't be for yellowtail, tuna, and salmon, or even a couple of rolls, though the caterpillar and Sushi 9 would be tempting. Most likely, I'll be there for another helping of shrimp tempura udon, which serves up thick, chewy, tender noodles in a big bowl of broth whose translucency belies its rich, briny flavor. Alongside, a trio of jumbo shrimp in a textbook batter provides delicately crisp counterpoint. I could also go for an encore of the Thai green curry chicken, juicy shreds of breast meat, crisp, tender green beans, Asian eggplant and basil leaves in a tropically fragrant curry. Or maybe I'd try a different curry, coconut creamy yellow curry, say, or massaman curry, with sweet potatoes, avocado, and cashews. Wait, I hear you saying Thai curries? That's right, Thai curries. You never know it by the restaurant's name, but Sushi 9's kitchen turns out a varied sampling of Pan-Asian specialties in addition to the expected tempura, teriyaki, and hibachi fare. Most of the non-Japanese offering is Thai, not surprising given the owner is a native of Thailand, but you'll also find a handful of Vietnamese and Chinese specialties sprinkled throughout the list. Among starters, chicken satay is as juicy and flavorful as any you'll find hereabouts. Salt and pepper calamari are supremely tender. According to Fatfat, they cut and clean fresh squid in-house in an exemplary batter. You won't mind that it's more like a Japanese tempura than a Chinese salt and pepper crust. Crab wontons and fried gois are respectable, though their wrappers can on occasion stray into dense and chewy territory. Clearly an economical epicurean, Lisa Fatfat is just as proud of her restaurant sesame chicken and General Chow's chicken. We always use fresh chicken, not frozen, as she is of its curries and pad thai. She raves about the Taramen duck, too, and seemed truly disappointed when I said I hadn't tried it yet. Looks like I've got another good reason to pay Sushi 9 a return visit. Again, Sushi 9 received 3 stars, located at 3812 Western Boulevard in Raleigh, phone number 900-8203. The next restaurant I'm going to read takes us to Chapel Hill. And this restaurant is for this restaurant review is for East End, located at 201 East Franklin Street in Chapel Hill, phone number 929-0024, and they received 3.5 stars. If corporations are people, as Mitt Romney has famously proposed, then I'm pretty sure I've discovered a business that has suffered from a multiple personality disorder for the last 10 years. The patient has been on the mend of late, however, and after a thorough examination, I'm happy to report that the prognosis is excellent for a full recovery. East End Oyster and Martini Bar came into the world in the fall of 2001 in the wake of 9/11. The newcomer struggled to survive in times that were difficult even for established restaurants and was on life support by the following spring. In May, new owners adopted the upstart eatery and administered extensive therapy in the form of a complete makeover. They put white linens on the tables and gussied up the menu to include the likes of coconut shrimp and grouper piccata. The awning over the entrance now reads, East End Fine Food, Seafood, and Martinis. The martinis caught on, but the fine seafood, not so much. In 2004, the white tablecloths came off and the kitchen was closed. East End Martini Bar, as it was now known, became a private membership bar. Not surprisingly, given its Franklin Street location, it fell in with the partying college crowd. But while the 25-cent beer specials and the colorful cocktails with names like Grape Gatsby and the Pink Panty Pull-Down paid the bills, one of the bar's owners yearned for something more substantial. Howard McDonald, a passionate self-taught cook with a taste for seafood acquired when he was growing up on the Florida coast, longed to reopen the kitchen. Last May, after buying out his partners and installing a new kitchen, McDonald realized his dream when he introduced a modest menu of starters, small plates, and sandwiches. Make that deceptively modest. At first glance, the offering appears to be geared strictly to the college bar crowd, with a liberal sprinkling of burgers, buffalo wings, and such. Look a little closer, though, and you'll discover that its appeal is much broader. The wings come from locally raised chickens, for starters. Same goes for the boneless breast you can get grilled or fried and topped with a spicy house-made pimento cheese on a brioche bun. Ditto the homemade chicken stock used to cook the risotto in delicate risotto cakes. Hogan's Magnolia View Farm supplies the grass-fed beef and the burgers, which are available with a wide assortment of toppings ranging from smoked gouda to crawfish etouffee. A grass-fed beef is less forgiving of being cooked medium than well-grain-fed beef. I've had modest success in imploring the server to pass along my request that the burger be cooked as close to medium rare as allowed by the health department. The Italian sausage and East End sausage and pepper sandwich comes from Chapel Hill Creamery, which fattens the pigs on leftover whey from cheesemaking, and it's served on a pretzel roll. The Durham Bakery, Gugelhoff, also supplies the baguette that's the foundation for an addictive Cajun crawfish bread appetizer, as well as the brioche and McDonald's stellar bread pudding. You get the idea. Howard McDonald cooks pretty much everything from scratch, and he likes to work with local food artisans and farmers. And fishermen. As luck would have it, McDonald's wife and partner, Brandy, is the daughter of Wesley Potter, a fifth-generation Shell fisherman. Potter, who plies the waters of Pamlico Sound, provides the oysters that, for my money, are the restaurant's premier attraction. My favorites, when I can resist slurping these plump, expertly shucked beauties raw, are char-grilled on the half shell with just a spritz of white wine, garlic butter and lemon, and a sprinkle of Parmesan. They're consistently first-rate however you order them, and downright irresistible on Tuesday through Friday nights from 5 to 7 p.m. when they're half price. In the coming warmer months, Potter's Nets will start hauling shrimp that the chef will feature in his signature shrimp and grits and the occasional po' boy. Blue crab season will bring a spicy crab dip and crab cakes made with 95% crab meat. That's about the time that East End, and it goes by that streamlined name now, will celebrate the first anniversary of its new persona as a restaurant. Or as Mitt Romney might put it, its transformation from problem child to model citizen. Again, East End received 3.5 stars, located at 201 East Franklin Street in Chapel Hill, phone number 929-0024. Brewmaster's Bar and Grill is located at 301 West Martin Street in Raleigh, phone number 836-9338, and they received 2.5 stars. He was a wise man who invented beer, Plato. Thus reads one of the numerous quotations stenciled on the walls at Brewmaster's Bar and Grill, which opened last March in downtown Raleigh. Scattered among the beer signs and brewery promotional posters, you'd expect to see at a place with such a name. The quotations are attributed to a pantheon of intellectual and cultural icons, from Confucius to Frank Sinatra. You get the distinct feeling that beer is more than just a product at brewmasters. It's a revered craft. You might even say, a philosophy. That should come as no surprise, given that the owner is local brewing guru Mark Cook. The owner of American Brewmasters, a home brewer supply shop in North Raleigh, Cook has introduced scores of enthusiasts to the craft. Some of his disciples have gone on to ply their skills at commercial breweries. Which explains the fact that roughly half of the pub's 66 taps dispense North Carolina beers. That's easily the broadest selection of local brews in the Triangle, to my knowledge, and always includes a number of seasonal brews and rarities such as Duck Rabbit Paul's Bitter Holiday ESB and the potent Imperial IPA from Carolina Brewing Company. Beer curator Les Stewart, now there's a title that tells you how important beer is here, frequently taps a special cask-conditioned brew, too. Foothills Brewing's Total Eclipse Stout, conditioned with Azuzu chocolate nibs and cinnamon, slipped down the gullets of lucky customers in December. Needless to say, the bar sets a high bar for the kitchen to live up to. In the years since Brewmasters opened, not counting its brief previous incarnation as Cherry Bomb Grill, the kitchen has struggled to clear that bar. But it's been getting closer since Chef Brian O'Hara came on board in September and overhauled the menu. O'Hara wisely kept the burgers that had been Brewmasters' main non-liquid attraction, featuring 8 ounces of ground chuck in a locally baked bun with options ranging from the classic, lettuce, tomato, and onion, a steal at $4.99, to the hangover, a towering stack of avocado, bacon, fried egg, pepper jack cheese, and Bloody Mary aioli that has won a cult-like following. Brewmasters' burger is indeed a keeper. But the chef, who once worked at Antotica Vin and more recently brought the menu up to snuff at Turnanog, jettisoned much of the Brewmaster's offering, including the entire entree list. In its place, he introduced sandwiches, appetizers, and side dishes with a southern accent, in part, he says, as a tribute to Joe's Place, the restaurant that had formerly occupied the space for 3 decades. Black-eyed pea hummus, served with house-baked crackers, is a welcome addition. So is a salad featuring house-pickled beets, roasted red peppers, radishes, and goat cheese on mixed greens. Shrimp cervace is a riskier proposition. It's made every other day, according to O'Hara, and judging by the tough shrimp and harsh acidity of the citrus marinade in the dish I sampled, I'm guessing I caught it at the end of day 2. If you're hankering for something different, PBR braised fried chicken wings tossed in a sauce sweetened with local scuppernong juice ought to do the trick. Or you might throw caution to the wind and order a pint of bacon, a pint glass filled with thick-cut bacon strips seasoned with a house-dry rub spice blend if you dare. I didn't. But I did score a couple of strips of bacon on the fried chicken sandwich that was offered as a special recently, where it was joined by house-made pimento cheese and caramelized onions on a Kaiser bun. A tasty bargain at $6.99, the deal was sweetened by including the choice of one side, in my case, a generous bowl of creamed collards. You could put together a satisfying vegetarian meal from the sides, for that matter, with options ranging from broccoli and raisin salad to barbecue-baked black-eyed peas. There's also an unusually broad selection of vegetarian burgers and biscuit sandwiches. Unfortunately, the biscuits are too often dry. That's a shame, because both the biscuit sandwiches I sampled from the carnivores list, fried catfish and duck rabbit milk stout braised beef brisket, served open-faced, were otherwise delightful. Chef O'Hara is aware of the problem and is working to solve it. In the meantime, the menu offers plenty of satisfying alternatives if you choose carefully, and there's always that beer selection and bartenders sufficiently versed in the subject to discuss the relative merits of the Cascade versus Centennial hops. But don't get the wrong idea. While Brewmaster's reverence for its namesake artisans is evident, it's just as clear that they don't take themselves too seriously. For proof, you need look no further than the W.C. Fields quotation directly above the bar stools. A woman drove me to drink, and I didn't even have the decency to thank her. That one is best seen while tilting your head back to sip. Again, Brewmaster's Bar and Grill received 2.5 stars. Located at 301 West Martin Street in Raleigh, phone number 836-9338. The next restaurant I'm going to read actually comes from Fuquay Farina. The name of this restaurant is Bellini, located at 1436 North Main Street. Again, that's in Fuquay Farina. Phone number 552-0303, and they received 3.5 stars. At $25 a pop, lobster linguine will set you back nearly twice the average cost of an entree at Bellini. Many have found it well worth the price of admission for a showstopper of a dish that stars half a lobster, pan-seared and served in its shell on a bed of homemade pasta tossed in brandy cream sauce. So many, in fact, that the lobster linguine has become something of a signature dish at Bellini. But you won't find it on the menu. You'll have to listen when your waiter recites the weekend specials on Friday and Saturday nights. Depending on the market and the chef's whim, the list might also include grilled branzino with lemon and capers, veal Michelangelo in white wine sauce topped with shrimp, or ossobuco. The one constant is lobster linguine, which is offered every weekend until the lobsters run out. And that's not to say that lobster linguine is the only attraction at Bellini. A recent weekend special pairing braised lamb shank with saffron risotto and a red wine reduction was every bit as worthy of its $25 tab. Nor do you have to shell out big bucks for this rewarding experience. The regular menu at this little Fuquay Farina strip mall outpost could hold its own with the Ristorante competition in Raleigh. Indeed, you'll have a hard time finding anything in the triangle to match Bellini's selection of homemade pastas. The noodles in this best-selling lasagna are made in-house. So are the fettuccine and the Alfredo sauce, the potato gnocchi in the meaty bolognese, and the manicotti that are stuffed with ricotta, parmesan, and mozzarella before being baked under a savory patchwork of tomato sauce and more mozzarella. Scratch-made cavatelli, stubby shells whose ricotta-enriched texture is reminiscent of gnocchi, are so toothsome that you're almost willing to overlook the paucity of the promised prosciutto and peas in the cream sauce. Fortunately, the kitchen miscues are infrequent, and any criticism isn't likely to rise above a quibble. Baked clams and baked mussels are both too heavily breaded for my taste, and dishes are sometimes slightly undersalted. But the house mesquite salad that comes with entrees is fresh, and the dressing's homemade, but the portion can be downright skimpy on occasion. And a $3 upcharge seems a bit steep to substitute a small Caesar, although a very good one, for the house salad. You're not likely to find fault with fried calamari, though, or with eggplant rollatini, which are stuffed with a blend of three cheeses and spinach and blanketed in homemade tomato sauce and molten mozzarella. If you're in the mood for spaghetti, don't let the fact that the pasta isn't homemade dissuade you. It's consistently cooked al dente and available with a variety of sauce options, all made in-house. Marinara, meat sauce, and pomodoro, fresh tomato with basil, with or without homemade meatballs. But my favorite dish of everything I sampled from the menu is the veal marsala. Scoring a double hit with exceptionally tender scallopini and a classic mushroom-studded brown gravy, it ranks right up there with the lobster linguine and braised lamb shank. Choosing didn't get any easier when it came to ordering dessert. If pressed to choose just one from more than half a dozen homemade temptations, I'd probably go with the textbook New York-style cheesecake, or maybe the gooey-centered chocolate souffle. Service is friendly, accommodating, and for the most part, knowledgeable. The two compact dining rooms are warmly welcoming, too, and with a casually romantic mood set by burgundy and white linens, soft-focused prints of Italian landscapes, and a cozy bar. Bellini's wine list is respectable enough, though the unambitious selection of six-by-the-glass options fails to live up to the ambitious menu. An expanded offering is in the works. That the execution of that menu is so solid should come as no surprise, given the background of the owner chef Abel Attucci. Before opening Bellini in 2010 with his brother and co-chef Adan, Attucci already had a resume that stretched back a quarter century, including 22 years in New York. Judging by the crowds, the Attucci brothers are a most welcome addition to the local dining scene. Clearly, Fuquay Farina was hungering for something a little more elegant than a pizzeria. Not that you can't get a pizza at Bellini. They're popular at lunchtime, and though not listed on the dinner menu, they are available outside the prime weekend hours. But let's face it, if you're driving from Raleigh, and in case there's any doubt, it's worth the drive. Chances are that just when you'll be arriving. In that case, plan on getting there early or late, or round up a party of four or more and make reservations. And rest assured, you won't miss the pizza. Again, Bellini received 3.5 stars. Located at 1436 North Main Street in Fuquay Farina, phone number 552-0303. going to read something now, which was from Greg Cox, who is the correspondent for the dining section in the News and Observer, for the best restaurants of 2011. According to the Chinese lunar calendar, January 23rd marked the end of the year of the rabbit and the beginning of the year of the dragon. After looking over the list of restaurants I reviewed last year as I was making my annual best restaurant selections, however, I can't help wondering if the calendar printers haven't made a mistake. Last year's barrage of authentic Chinese restaurants was decidedly more like a dominant fire breather than a timid hutch dweller. When the dust had settled, their numbers had nearly doubled, and their variety multiplied even more dramatically. The incendiary Shuizhuan Fair at newcomer Happy China even had some of its customers breathing fire. The area got its first Taiwanese eatery, Tapai 101, in February, and its second Tapai Cafe less than a month later. Dim Sum House was the first restaurant in the area to offer its namesake specialty all day, every day. Abel Bar and Grill introduced us to a concept few have experienced outside of China, street foods and international karaoke. Bombay Beijing lived up to its name with a twin bill offering of Indo-Chinese and traditional Indian fare. Even so, Chinese restaurants didn't have a monopoly on spicing up the local scene. Babylon serves Moroccan-inspired cuisine in a setting straight out of Marrakesh, while G2B opts for a techno-chic as a dramatic backdrop for its gastropug offering. The Pig offers an unlikely combination of barbecue and vegetarian fare, while Beasley's explores an offbeat southern specialty of fried chicken drizzled with honey. Rosada's teaches us there's not just one kind of Chicago-style pizza, but three. Meanwhile, the old-timers kept us sailing on an even keel, even through the turbulence of rapid change. After a brief absence, Hillsborough Street mainstay Frazier's made an impressive comeback, this time as a wine bar. Piedmont, a pioneer in the revitalization of downtown Durham, proved that it's still one of the now-booming area's main draws. And nearly 15 years after it opened, Waraji still sets the local standard for a Japanese restaurant. I've selected the granddaddy of all old-timers, not in terms of years, but in terms of its influence on the local dining scene, as Restaurant of the Year. I've opted not to present a top 25 list, an arbitrary number that in the past forced me to paint restaurants of something wildly differing qualities with the same brush. Instead, I'm sticking with last year's gold medal, silver medal, and best-in-class categories. Oh, and now I'm adding a new category called Best New Restaurants. In a year with as many as exciting newcomers as just the one past, how could I not? And the restaurant of the year for 2011 went to Magnolia Grill. Magnolia Grill is located at 1002 9th Street in Durham, phone number 286-3609. The first question I'm invariably asked when I'm introduced as a restaurant critic in some variation on what's your favorite restaurant, I never answer with the name of just one. Because my tastes are wide-ranging and my favorite restaurant can change depending on my mood, I always mention at least two or three, and not always the same two or three. But I always include Magnolia Grill. It's an obvious choice, I know. The restaurant has won two James Beard's Awards, after all, and it's hard to imagine what the local dining scene would look like without the dozens of culinary protégés of owner Chef Ben Barker and his wife, pastry chef Karen Barker, many of whom now run restaurants of their own. But my reasons for including Magnolia Grill, I'm on my short list of favorites, and for naming it Restaurant of the Year, go beyond the obvious. They date to November 1986, when the restaurant opened just a month after I moved to the area. It didn't take me long to discover this oasis in a culinary landscape that looked vastly different than it does today. Fine dining options are much more plentiful now, and there are plenty of restaurants with a more elegant dining room decor than Magnolia Grill's, and a few that can match the level of professionalism of its waitstaff. But when it comes to food, Magnolia Grill stands alone. That the kitchen has continued to perform at such a consistently high level over so many years is impressive enough. That it does so with a daily changing menu that focuses on local produce, and did so long before it was fashionable, is even more impressive. And that Ben Barker and his crew are able, again and again, to surprise and delight with flavor combinations you'd never have thought of, and unlike so many other creative presentations elsewhere, rarely come off as overwrought, is nothing short of amazing. Magnolia Grill is, in other words, a foodie mecca in the purest sense. It seems especially appropriate to choose this year to name Magnolia Grill Restaurant of the Year. A few weeks ago, the restaurant celebrated its 25th birthday. You could call this year's award a belated happy birthday wish and a thank you from a grateful foodie. Also, I'm going to read some of his gold medal winners: the Fearington House, located in Pittsburgh; Herons, located in Cary; Lantern, located in Chapel Hill. Obviously, Magnolia Grill, located in Durham. Nana's, also located in Durham. And Paul's Diner, located in Raleigh. His silver medal awards go to the 18 Seaboard, located in Raleigh. The Angus Barn, also located in Raleigh. Bloomsbury Bistro and Coquette, also both of those restaurants are located in Raleigh. Elaine's on Franklin, located in Chapel Hill. Fairview, located in Durham. Flights, located in the Renaissance Hotel in Raleigh at the North Hills location. Foursquare in Durham. Fraser's Wine Bar in Raleigh. Il Palio in Chapel Hill. Kitchen in Chapel Hill. Margot's, and that is located in Raleigh. Maximilian's, located in Cary. One, located in Chapel Hill. Pinchudo, located in Hillsboro. St. Jock's, located in Raleigh. Revolution, located in Durham. Second Empire, located in Raleigh. Vivace, located in Raleigh. And Watts Grocery, located in Durham. And as far as the best in class by cuisine, the best African cuisine is the Queen of Sheba, located in Chapel Hill. Best barbecue, Allen & Son, located in Chapel Hill. Best Chinese, Gourmet Kingdom and Superwok. Gourmet Kingdom is located in Carrboroughs, Superwok in Cary. Best French restaurant, Vin Rouge, located in Durham. Best German, Central European, goes to J. Betsky's, located in Raleigh. Greek, Taverna Agora, and located in Raleigh. Indian, Saffron of Chapel Hill. And that was Northern Indian. Southern Indian is Udipi Cafe, located in Cary. Best Italian, Il Palio in Chapel Hill. Best Japanese, Waraji, located in Raleigh. Best Korean, The Seoul Garden, located in Raleigh. And it looks like that we have just about run out of time for the episode of Restaurant Reviews. And I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Missy Hollander, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. The program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until next time.